Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
I've said it before, but it bears repeating. There is too much out there regarding CV-19 to keep up with it all. It really is. A friend over at Defense of Our Nation, a site I think you should check out, sent me a link to an article titled Viral Visualizations: How Coronavirus Skeptics Use Orthodox Data Practices to Promote Unorthodox Science Online. Now, before I say anything about this, I suggest that you look at the link in the transcript and go to that site and download the 18-page PDF to your computer so that you have it if somebody decides to take that thing down. Well, the authors essentially complain. They state that conservatives have done tremendous amounts of research regarding all things CV-19, the lockdowns, the masks, the washing of the hands, the medical advice from alleged experts, and the CV-19 jab as well. Now, apparently, they've actually studied posts and discussions on various social media platforms over months to determine the focus. Turns out that because of conservative research, much of it is so scholarly that they admit it deserves to be in medical and educational journals as white papers. Well, isn't that something? Of course, they're not happy about that because they don't like what conservatives have been doing and the fact that we just simply didn't cave into their fear-mongering campaigns and graciously accept whatever elected officials doled out to us. Instead of hearing, "Oh, thank you, ma'am, may I have another?" conservatives are resisting efforts to gain control over society, and apparently we have great reasons to do so, they say. So what will these people try to accomplish to diminish our beliefs regarding all things CV-19? Well, here's what they're going to do. According to their own research and their own paper, they will call us names, they will attempt to marginalize us, and essentially try to relegate us to the trash heap of history, the outer fringes. And we know that that's been going on. We're in their way, because according to them, we actually know what we're talking about, and we can discuss it intelligently. We are not easily taken in by the duplicity and the double talk and even lies from professional spokespeople who get up and lie routinely because that's their native language. Read the report and understand that they admit they are losing. They are losing. However, do not celebrate yet, because what this will ultimately possibly mean is that another pandemic or something else will be coming to throw society into confusion and disarray. And there's a lot of information out there. There's even information right now that's being broached by the MSM that is talking about the dangerous way we are going with respect to shortages throughout global society. You know, other people have been writing about that for at least a year, and it's been poo-pooed and ignored, but now MSM is starting to take that seriously. Well, as far as passports are concerned, I'm sure you've no doubt heard about the vaccine passports. Well, states like Florida are resisting this effort big time. Other states are joining in the fight in what they consider to be the tyranny of governmental intrusion. Thanks to a reader who sent the link to the article, States Fight Back Against Vaccine Passports. More and more people are starting to sound the alarm, and it would be wise to heed it before our rights are completely gone. And again, I've got links to these things that I'm mentioning in the transcript. Young people, I am still amazed at the way many parents are just stepping up and simply volunteering their children for the huge CV-19 vaccine study that is going on now. It would be helpful to remember that there were virtually no animal or human trials for the current CV-19 vax, which is at least part of the reason the FDA gave it only an emergency use clearance. That's very important. Yet thousands and thousands of people are lining up for their children to receive the jab. And in doing so, what they have unwittingly or even maybe unknowingly done is insert themselves in part of the human trials that are going on now that did not take place for the 12 years or so before a vaccination would be fully approved for general public usage. So these people are now part of this study. And I'd like to reiterate here, I am not anti-vaccine. I'm opposed to certain ones, but not all. I'm most definitely opposed to the CV-19 jab because of the mRNA component and see no reason for it, especially considering the fact that if we set aside deaths of elderly people in nursing homes, the actual death rate for CV-19 is 0.26%. That's incredibly low. Yet we have people in the medical field downplaying that and encouraging everyone to get their jab. Remember when people received the flu shot for themselves and not to protect others? Remember when no one was ever forced or cajoled or, you know, made to feel like they needed to get a flu shot? Good times, huh? Well, they're gone. All right, let's move on. The Chosen. I have to admit that I have changed my mind on The Chosen. You may recall from a previous article that I wrote, I thought The Chosen was pretty stellar. And again, I have a link in the transcript. While I have a few issues initially with the scenes, some of the scenes in a few episodes of the first season of The Chosen, I was willing to overlook them because they did not appear at the time to present a major doctrinal issue. But having watched the entire first season twice now, I must say and admit that I was wrong. I cannot in good conscience continue recommending The Chosen, and we will not be watching further seasons or supporting it in our household. Dallas Jenkins, he's the main producer of this thing. Dallas Jenkins' questionable beliefs are now on display. I have linked to another article in the transcript entitled The Chosen and the Shift. And this was written by Ingrid McCullough, who makes some very cogent points. Now, as I say, I've had a few issues with season one about the things that Dallas Jenkins puts in the mouth of Jesus in a very extra biblical and almost sarcastic way, especially when he has Jesus saying, "I didn't see that coming. Ha ha." Now, it's not a joke. He, of course, Jenkins, of course, denies that he goes beyond the Bible, but that's exactly what he's doing because he's filling in missing details that are not in the scriptural record. So if he's not going past the Bible to add all that stuff in, then what is he doing? He's just putting it in for what? Dramatic flair? No, he's making things up. Now, moreover, his recent union, and this is even more troubling, his recent union with Mormon Brock Heasley in the production of The Shift, a short film, is really, really eye-opening. Here's a quote from Ingrid. She says, "I beg you not to watch this blasphemous, heretical film." And she's referring to the short, The Shift. "Truly, it is terrible. It is a Mormon depiction of Satan, temptation, and prayer. And it presents their theology of other worlds. Mr. Heasley refers to himself as a Christian filmmaker and presents his aberrant theology as Christian. It is not. And now Mr. Jenkins has signed up to make the full-length movie version of this short film." Unquote. Well, if Dallas Jenkins is truly a Christian, why would he partner with Mormons who deny that Jesus is the creator God of the universe? Why would he do that? It makes no sense. I thought Paul was very clear about our partnerships or fellowship with unbelievers in 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 15, where he says this, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" There are basically two reasons I think Jenkins would be partnering with a Mormon. First, Jenkins is not an authentic Christian and simply wants a far wider distribution for The Chosen and anything else he does. Or Jenkins is an authentic Christian, but is in rebellion through a partnership with someone from a cult. In the article that I'm talking about right now, I've included a picture from Ingrid's article, and it pretty much zeroes in on how Jenkins feels. Let me read it to you. There's this picture there. Over it, she put this statement that he said, quote, "We love the same Jesus. I'll sink or swim on that statement," unquote. This was during his interview that Jenkins did with someone on a Mormon talk show. So he states that he and Mormons love the same Jesus. The Jesus of Mormonism is absolutely not the Jesus of the Bible. So either Jenkins has his facts completely confused and is unaware of the problem, or he believes himself to be a Christian, but maybe not, and is using his beliefs to enrich and make a huge name for himself, but he's really outing himself here as a heretic. Mormonism and Christianity have nothing in common except certain labels and names. That's it. Otherwise, Joseph Smith would not have received, quote unquote, the Book of Mormon from the angel Moroni, and that's what the Mormons call another testimony of Jesus Christ. Sorry. They're either correct or they're not. And if they're not correct, then Christians need to steer clear. I think it is safe to say that Dallas Jenkins does not authentically fear God. He seems to serve himself and his belly. This is often the case when dealing with people from seeker-sensitive churches like his. Everything for them is based on feels. Jenkins believes God talked to him and God told him that he wanted Jenkins to take on this project. Quote, "I felt like God was saying, this will be the definitive portrayal of my people, and this is what people are going to think of around the world when they think of my people, and I'm not going to let you screw it up," unquote. He actually said that. This idea that God continues adding to his revealed word is not only revolting, but it is satanic. It is not as though these people know the written word of God well enough either. Yet they all believe that God speaks to them apart from or beyond his word. I would like to apologize to anyone I may have pushed down the wrong path by initially recommending The Chosen. It is not worth watching or having in your library, except possibly as a research tool. God is warned in several places of Scripture that whoever adds to his word will suffer the consequences of their lies. Not only is this clearly stated in Revelation, but Moses also says as much in Deuteronomy. People who haphazardly say that God told them to say or do something are playing with fire, in my opinion, and God will not be mocked. All right, moving on. Canadian pastor arrested. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that Pastor Pawlowski of Canada has been arrested. There's a very good short video interview with Pastor, and I would suggest that you watch it and share it. And again, the link is in the transcript. Well, we're moving on to Nehemiah, and we're going to close out with this. Nehemiah's fear of the Lord has already been seen and mentioned in a previous article I wrote. However, his righteous anger carries him forward. A proper fear of the Lord prompts one to do or say the correct thing that brings glory to God. Nehemiah's fear of the Lord was the motivating factor in ensuring that the Jews did things according to the law of Moses given by God himself. Nehemiah 13 tells us the people gathered to hear the word of the Lord, and as they did so, they began hearing it, and they discovered certain things that they should not have been doing. It is in this chapter that Nehemiah, who had gone back to the king for a short while, returned to Jerusalem and found things out of order. First, Eliashib, the priest, had, guess what, taken it upon himself to, guess what, set up an apartment for Tobiah inside the temple area. To do this, he would have used one of the storage rooms, and he would have taken all the storage items out of that room, making an apartment for Tobiah. And by the way, this is the same Tobiah who withstood the builders trying to restore parts of Jerusalem and the temple. He was an enemy, So when Nehemiah returns and discovers Tobiah living in the temple area, storage rooms, he was, quote unquote, grieved bitterly and, quote, therefore I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room, unquote. That's in chapter 13, verse 8. Nehemiah then commanded that the so-called apartment should be cleansed and the items dedicated to the service of the Lord put back. Now also, Nehemiah finds that the Levites had not been given what was due to them according to the law, so they had no recourse except to go back to their fields and farm. This was because the people were ignoring the house of God. Nehemiah deals with it. As if all of this isn't bad enough, in verse 15 of chapter 13, we learn the people were not observing the Sabbath. This is the same kind of behavior that got them into major trouble before. To them, it was simply another day. Nehemiah dealt with that as well. Then, Nehemiah also learns that many Jewish men disobeyed the Lord by marrying pagan women from other cultures. Is that familiar? It happened under Ezra, too. Nehemiah reminded them that this was the exact problem that caused Solomon to sin. So what does Nehemiah do? Remember, he is angry because of their blatant disobedience. Verse 25 tells us this. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them, and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves. Again, verse 25. Now, clearly, Nehemiah was not happy. And yet there is no indication that in any of this he sinned. In fact, Jesus cleansed the temple, Matthew 21, 12 through 17, with the same fear of the Lord. He, Jesus, was angry. He took a cord. He made a whip. He overturned money changer temples, and he chased them out of the temple area. Anger has its place. But we all too often think of Jesus as just, oh, he's so loving. He's so loving. He's got this soft side that he would never raise a finger to anyone. Well, that's incorrect. That is absolutely incorrect, because the fear of the Lord that he had for God the Father made him do that. It prompted his action. But we also need to remember that when we have the proper fear of the Lord, there may be times when we do become anger or righteously indignant. And when we do, our fear of the Lord may prompt actions or words designed to correct sin and problems. We also need to recall the words of Paul in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Anger does not automatically translate to sin, but it can if we are not careful. I tell you this so that your main focus will be the cultivation of the fear of the Lord, not being angry. Just cultivate the fear of the Lord. As a result, whether you find you have immense empathy for people and a desire to help them, or you react towards sin the way Nehemiah did, whatever it is, we should always realize that without that fear of the Lord, these things are often done from our flesh. And when they are done from our flesh, they are fully displeasing to God. They do not bring him honor. I want to close with one verse, Psalm 86, 11, from the New King James Version. It says this, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. We need to do that. And notice it says, teach me your way. It's not an instant, here it is, poof, there you go, now you know. No, it's a process of learning the ways of the Lord. And once we learn those ways, we will learn to walk in that truth. And notice the prayer here of the psalmist, unite my heart to fear your name. That is where it all starts. That is the quote-unquote secret to living victoriously as a Christian. It all starts with fearing God. There's no shortcut. It's there. Fear the Lord. Well, I hope you have a great day. And this is Friday, so I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I trust you're planning on going to church. I trust you're going to worship with other believers. I trust you are reading His Word daily. I trust you are seeking His face in the fear of His name. Until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.